Welcome to the Red X Real Estate Podcast. Here, you'll discover how to create stability and opportunity for your business with tips, tricks, habits, and hacks from top-performing agents. If you'd like to receive notifications for new episodes, be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever else you like to listen. And for even more updates on ebooks, webinar trainings, and other useful real estate content, head over to theredx.com/blog and click on any blog post to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Thanks for listening. Now sit back and enjoy the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Red X Podcast. My name is Andrew. I will be your host today, and we have got an amazing guest, one of my favorite guests. This is your, fifth, sixth time back on the show here. Joe Rosen, an amazing agent and team leader from Florida, if I'm remembering correctly. It's been a while since we chatted.
Yeah, Port St. Lucie.
All right, love it. Well, Joe is joining us today. We're going to talk about a lot of amazing stuff. We're going to talk about, goal setting for 2023, specifically, breaking down your conversion numbers and tracking your numbers to get exactly where you want to get exactly how many closings you need for next year. Right, Joe? So let's get into it. But before we do, I just want to give a shout out to our audience. Please jump in the chat. Let us know where you are, where you're watching from. Give us a shout out. Oh, we got Ricky Carruth sending some spaceships in. How are you doing, Ricky? Let us know where you're from. And if you have any questions for Joe as we work through our show today, please put them in the chat. Joe is an expert here, and he will be more than happy to answer any and all of those. So whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, let us know where you're at and participate here. We love to hear it. So Joe, I'm just going to kind of turn the time over to you, let you take it away here, and I will interrupt as I see fit, but what do you got for us today, man?
Yeah, so we just as a team did our goal setting event for 2023, and it really fires you up, man. It creates that new fire, and you're always trying to find some new thing, whether it's a book, it's a video, it's an event, it's whatever, to get that fire lit again, right? So I want to talk a little bit about two things first, and then we'll get into the specifics about what we did, right, for the analytics out there. So first of all, I think it's really important to kind of talk about your why, because the first question that we're going to ask when we start this goal setting session is, how much income do you want to create in 2023? But while that is a very detailed, very analytical, kind of heartless question to ask, right? It's just literally a number.
Right.
Everything you do is based around people and relationships and adding value and building connections and all these different things. So you've got to really decide, people talk about this work-life balance. We've got single mothers in this business, and we've got people who are crazy and work 90 hours a week at this business, and we got everything in between, right? So you've really got to decide, how much effort do you want to put into your business? And specifically, how many conversations do you want to have? Because it doesn't matter how many hours you're working if you're not putting into conversations. So some of the folks are going to say, I want to make 500 grand. Cool. We can build a plan for that. But you better be ready to make massive amounts of calls. And that's what you're doing 90 hours a week, right? And you can go have time at the beach and happy hour and everything else. But you better be ready to make 50, 60 grand a year. So as long as you're okay with that, right? And then, of course, there's everything in between. So really think about your why. And I'm not going to delve too deep into your why here, but I think every one of these sessions should start with your why. What is it you're focused on? What is it you want to get out of this? And once you know what that is, you're going to be a lot more realistic with the goals that you're about to set, right? So that's the first thing that I would get into. So then getting into the numbers, right? What is the income that you want to pull in? I'll tell you, from our team, the typical numbers that I was hearing was either 100 grand or 150 grand. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is, right? As long as you buy into it, it fits the lifestyle that you want. But whatever it is, you can start working those numbers backwards. So what we do, and we've got a whole worksheet that we go through, and we start to say, okay, depending upon the brokerage you're at, some of you guys are maybe on teams and you're making 50%. Some of you guys are single agents at 100% brokerages, and you've got a $300-$500 transaction fee. Whatever it is your pay scale is looking like, you can start to guess how much you're going to make if you sell one house, if I sell 10 houses, if I sell 20. And you can start to kind of guess where your income is going to be. And then based on that, doing that math, right, looking at what is the average sales price in my particular market, what's the typical commission that I'm going to get, and then looking at maybe 70% of my sales are on the list side and 30 are on the buy side. Well, I can tell you I average well over 3% on the list side, but I average a hair under 3% on the buy side. So looking at that and being able to calculate all that's important, right? So now you've got an amount of sales. I'm going to have this many list side sales. I'm going to have this many buy side sales. Now you work it backwards, right? So we've got 11 big stats that we talk about in all of our Monday morning sales meetings. And guys, if you, I'll tell you what we use. If you use it, phenomenal. It does cost you money. If you don't want to pay the money, you can do this with a simple Excel spreadsheet and just literally 3-4 minutes a day of tracking. But having the tracking in place, I'll tell you what it's going to do. Right now, you're going to hear me spit out a bunch of numbers and you're going to think, cool, do you really buy into it? Do you not buy into it? It's up to you, right? But if you've got the numbers, it doesn't matter what I say. You're going to say, these are my conversion numbers. It doesn't matter what Joe Rosen says. I totally buy into these because I'm seeing that's what this input is outputting, right?
Right.
So really having that tracking system. For us, we initially use Sisu. It's S-I-S-U. And it's a great company. We decided to go with a different company called CTE. It's just the three letters, CTE, that I personally like a lot better. But both work well. The 11 stats that we track are these, right? And think about it as a funnel. And at the top of the funnel, you want to put enough leads so that at the bottom of the funnel, you've got some leads coming out and those are your closings, right? So the top of the funnel, you've got to have conversations. So that's what we're focused on every single day. Our guys know I need to have X amount of conversations per week to hit my income goal. And I need to have X amount per day, whether you work 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 4 days a week, whatever it is. You divide that weekly by however many days a week, and there's your daily, right? Mm-hmm. You pretty much look at it like, hey, if you work at Burger King and your job is 8 to 5, you don't go home until 5 and you better show up at 8. Those are the requirements, right? Well, for us, it's the same thing. You don't go home until you make your conversations. So if you make all your conversations, we've got one gal on our team and she's my top agent. She gets all her conversations done by 1, 2 o'clock. If she's got appointments, she goes on them. If not, she's out at the pool and I can see it on Instagram. She's enjoying life because she hit what it is she wants to do. And a big part of her life is spending time by the pool with her kids, right? So she does it. So really looking at how many conversations you got to have, right? And we'll talk a little bit more about numbers, but I want to get through the 11 big stats. Okay. So that's one. Now there's 5 more stats that I'm going to talk about, but there's 2 columns for them, 1 for buyers and 1 for sellers. So okay. 5 for buyers, 5 for sellers, plus conversations. That's the 11. You don't know if conversations are going towards buyers or sellers with a lot of the different types of prospecting, so we don't break that up. But here are the 5. Appointment set. So you've gotten a commitment from someone to meet with you, either go look at homes or for a buyer consult or for a listing presentation, right? Then you've got appointment met. They actually showed up. Now, that's a big deal because you'll see the goal of a conversation is to set an appointment. Well, it's kind of worthless to set appointments if you can't get people to show up, right? So you'll see if you've got those weaker conversion rates between appointments set and appointments met, you can start to focus on some different things. And I'll give you a couple examples, right? If you're scheduling a bunch of appointments and maybe only half are showing up, that's definitely not a good number. Mm-hmm. You can start to send a text the night before and remind them. And then you can send another text the morning of telling them, this is the work I did to prepare for it. I'm excited to see you and assuming the appointment is still standing, right? That's the tone of the message. You're not asking them. You're telling them, I did all this work for you. I am so prepared. And I think you're going to be excited to see what I've got for you. I'll see you at 3 o'clock. That is a completely different tone than, hey, this is Joe Rosen. Just want to confirm that we're going to hook up here at 3 o'clock today. It's completely different. If I'm kind of on the fence, that's an easy out. But if you just told me you worked your butt off preparing for our appointment and you're excited for it, number one, you got me a little bit more excited and I want to be there for you because now you put some effort into me, man. I owe you a little bit of effort on my end. Right. So you're playing to the psychology a little bit, right?
Sure. So looking at this appointment set to appointment met, you said 50%, not a great number. What kind of ratio should or number should people aim for set to met?
We are shooting for 85%.
Okay, nice.
Yep, that's a great question. So 85%. I think if you're newer and you see that it's lower than that, it's not bad news. Sure. All it is, hey, I need to work on those things Joe just talked about, right?
Right.
If you're hitting 85, I'd focus my efforts somewhere else. Cool. So now you get the people to show up. What's the next stat? The next stat is signed. Now, I've talked to a lot of different team leaders and they define this in different ways, but I'll tell you on the buy side for us, signed means that the buyer has fully executed an offer and you have sent it to the listing agent. Whether or not they accept it, whether or not they have multiple offers, doesn't matter. That is signed. Okay. Some team leaders say once you get them into a buyer's rep, that is signed. I don't really care what you define it as long as you're consistent, because that's going to get you your conversion ratios and now you're going to flip. So it really doesn't matter how you define these different things as long as you're consistent in your definitions. Sure. On the list side, it's I have a listing, it is signed, and it is in the MLS. So if you've got something signed on Monday to go in on Wednesday, it does not count until Wednesday. Why? Because I've seen listings be signed on Monday and on Tuesday they change their mind and it never hits the MLS. So
right. You
got to get it there, man. But once you get it there, it's considered a sign. So then you've got under contract, and that's easy, right? Everybody signed it. Everybody's received it back from the other parties. Boom, we're under contract. That counts. And then, of course, everybody's favorite is a closing, right? So those five for buyers, those five for sellers, plus conversations, those are the big 11 that we're tracking. So when we're meeting with people and our team and we're talking about these different numbers, whatever it is you want to make, if you want to make $100,000, and let's just for simple numbers say, we know that you're going to make $10,000. That'd be a pretty easy commission split, but let's just say $10,000 once you figure out your average price and your average commission, everything else, you're going to make $10,000 on average. Okay, that's simple math, right? $100,000, right? Divided by 10, I got to get 10 sales. And you can kind of look at your buy sides versus list sides. If you're a rookie and you're focusing on buy side specific prospecting, you might have 6 or 7 deals on the buy side, right? If you're focused on expireds and FSBOs, it might be 6 or 7 on the list side and the other 3 or 4 come on the buy side. So kind of looking at that too, you can easily go into your MLS and start to look at average commissions. That's not very challenging. And to pull that up there, but most agents know that pretty well, right?
Right.
So now you've got your appointment to show up, how many go under contract. That is an important thing too, right? So just kind of thinking about that, and it depends on the market. So let's look at an appointment set to how many do I get signed. Right now, I'm getting a lot more listings signed percentage-wise per appointment met than I was a year ago, right? It's just a lot easier to get listings right now. And it's always whatever the thing that's tougher to sell is, that's the easier thing to get always.
Yep.
But so it's a little bit easier right now. So my conversion ratios have went up. So if I go into 10 appointments, I assume I'm going to get about 8 of those listings. So I'm at about 80%. For some of my guys, maybe they're at 60%. If you are heavy, well, let's use Red X. You're a heavy circle prospector. You don't really have competition with circle prospecting. That's the beautiful thing about it. It's a longer nurture. You can get a higher commission. You can get them to go with your price. There's nobody else involved in this. You're driving the train. So your odds of getting that thing to get on the MLS, assuming you stick with it, is much, much higher than if you're chasing FSBOs and expireds. Yeah, that's low-hanging fruit. But you got to compete with the top 20, 30, 40 prospectors in your market on every single one of those. Sure. So your conversion ratio is going to go down a little bit, right? So looking at buy sides on that, how many buyer appointments, which is typically going to be showings, how many showing appointments do I need to go on before somebody's going to write an offer and put it in? And I'm shooting for 50%. So if I go on 10 appointments to go show homes, half of those times I want somebody putting an offer in, right? You get spurts where it's higher, spurts where it's lower. And guys, don't fret about how accurate you are, okay? The only way you're going to be accurate is if you follow this stuff, your stats, for a good 6 months, and then you can go back and look. If you're using Sisu, CTE, it's great. If not, use an Excel spreadsheet. You'll see your conversion ratios. And again, it doesn't matter what I say. Your market, your skills are going to dictate what you're able to do. So now you've got the listing. How many are going to close? Well, a year ago, it was 95%, and that might have been honestly a conservative number, right?
Yep.
Now it's starting to creep down a little bit. Now you might be looking at 70 or 80%. It also depends on, do you take overpriced listings or not? If you don't, you're probably going to be a little bit higher. If you do, you're going to be a little bit lower, right? So you got to know yourself and your market. On the buy side, how many of your offers are going to be accepted? Well, it depends. How horrible are the offers you write? I feel like I'm pretty good at getting my people to be realistic and understand the risk versus reward. So I feel like I get a higher percentage of them accepting it. So right now, I don't have my numbers in front of me, but I would say if I put a listing on the market, I am confident that 80% are going to close, right? Or they're going to go under contract. If I have 10 buy side offers accepted, put in, I am assuming that I'm going to get 70% accepted. So I've got a 30% failure rate. Maybe it was multiple offers. Maybe we were low, whatever it is, right? So now we're going from under contract to closed. To me, it's the same on either side. It doesn't really matter. I'm probably going to get through about 80-85% of them, right? So 80-85%. If you are a little weaker negotiator, if you find that you get beat up a little bit more during inspection, you might want to lower that a little bit. But if you're really strong with that stuff, you might want to increase it. So there's kind of the basic numbers in some of the things I'm seeing. What that creates for me then, though, and I don't want to get too much into this because we're talking about goals, is what if my numbers do suck? What if I'm looking at these numbers that Joe's given me and I'm not hitting those numbers? What do I do? And there we say you've got to do one of two things. Number one, well, I'd say one of three things. Number one, you've got to get into role playing, right? We do role playing 5 days a week. It's an hour every day. It's the first thing you do. And it really gets you into all the different objections. And I'll tell you, man, I'm a pro at this stuff. I do it all day long. I've done it for a while, and we've done it at a very successful rate. I'll get into that role playing, and some rookie has some objection, and I've never heard it, or it's a different twist on what I've heard. It makes me better. It makes all of us better. Right. So,
Joe, when you're talking about role playing, usually when I hear role playing, I think of prospecting, cold calls, conversations, role playing those conversations, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, does that spread into any other area? Like, are you role playing maybe some of your appointments? Are you role playing some of these conversations around signing a contract, or is it more on that top of funnel area?
It's anything you want. So typically, what we do, we've got about 20-30 people in our room on average, and usually the moderator will say, "I've got an objection for you. Here it is," and then they'll run through the objection. And then at least when I moderate, I'll say, if you have a real life objection that you just faced in the last day or two, forget my objection. Go with yours.
Nice.
If you don't have one, use mine. And then we'll put you into breakout groups of two or three agents per group. And then you get 15 minutes to run through that, right? One person is the agent, one person is the client. Or maybe it's an agent negotiating with another agent on an inspection. It could be a million things. Sure. But you get to pick what it is. So then we come out of that and we talk, right? Whoever was the non-agent, whoever was usually the client, that person raises their hand. They get about 60 seconds to say, this is what we talked about. Here's something they could have improved on. Here's something they did great that you guys should really do too. And we focus on trying to be, and now I'm not doing it, to be very efficient with our words, right? So, and I say, you want to be efficient with your words because we're running something that's got to keep the engagement of everybody. But I also want you to be efficient with your words, with your buyers and sellers. If you ramble on too much, you're going to lose our attention, man. So you got to get right to the point. Every word needs to matter. And this is your practice in doing it. So that role play matters. Training matters. The more you know, we just had a CMA boot camp today. It's a 6-hour training. My whole team goes on. We go look at 3 different houses. And after those 3, we go back to my house, we grab some lunch, and privately, you get 30 minutes to do a CMA on house 1. And then we all talk about the numbers, and we laugh at the people who are really high or really low, but we don't know, you know, we write them all down, and then we go to the next one, and then we go to the next one. You get 30 minutes per, and then you get 3 minutes to pitch why you said your number and what your number is. And then I will critique you, and I'll say, well, did you see this, and did you check this out, and so these guys get so good at this stuff. And what you find is, and it's funny because one of my favorite new agents, he's putting all the effort in. He's a Red X dude, man. So he's going to crush it. He said at the end, I had a fear of going into listing appointments because I'm sure I can get there. But once I get there, I'm going to get the crap kicked out of me. But after being in this CMA boot camp, I feel like I am so well equipped to come in and crush it. I want to get in appointments now. And I said, you watch over the coming week or two, you're going to have more appointments than you've ever had because that's what your mind is focused on and that's what you're confident with now, right? So you've got to get into role play. You've got to get into that training. And then obviously the biggest thing is you've got to get real life reps. So this is one of the reasons, especially for newer agents, I love cold calling. Of course it's going to fill your CRM. Of course you don't have any competition. It's the easiest lead to take over and get the highest commissions and prices and all that good stuff. But in all honesty, I want my guys to have all the reps in the world. I want you to get as many objections as possible, see as many scenarios as possible. And there's no way to call that many leads in that short a time as working with a company like Red X and getting in front of those people. So that's really how you get better if your conversion rates aren't where they want to be.
I love that. And with the CMA bootcamp, it sounded like a lot of that was helping them practice for listing appointments, right? Is that what you were getting at? It sounds like it also might help them learn how to price a house better, right? Learn the ins and outs of like, okay, like you mentioned early on, it's like, okay, maybe my problem is I'm bad at pricing, or maybe the problem is I'm bad at negotiating. All these things seem to contribute to multiple positive outcomes, multiple positive skills here.
Yeah, big time. And there's a couple different layers of it, right? So think from a seller's point of view, I always tell my guys, you can't just be accurate. You have to also be able to communicate it in a way where the seller buys into what you're saying. You can be the most accurate assessor of value on the planet, but if they don't buy into it, it's worthless, right? So you've got to also be able to communicate it. And I think too, you know, so few, or at least with what I hear from buyer's agents, so few buyer's agents do that same work for their buyers. But Andrew, if I go out and I show you a home and it's listed for 500 grand and you're like, hey, Joe, what kind of offer should I put in? So many people think, well, let's try 20 grand low. Let's try 10 grand low. Or let's try some strategy I read in Trump's book, or yeah, whatever it is, right? Whatever book they read, or who's the new guy? The guy, don't split the difference. Never split the difference. Chris Watts, right? They got all these strategies. But I think, dude, that house might be worth 450. You come in at 470, you just got your butt kicked. You think you got 30 grand off, but you lost 20. That house might be worth 550 and they're underpriced, and now you're wasting time and somebody else swoops in and grabs it for 520 and still got a $30,000 deal. So I think it's our duty, not just to them, but to us. You're going to build confidence in you to be able to quickly do an analysis on the value of that property. And now if I come to you, Andrew, and I say, dude, this thing is worth about 470, so I wouldn't go a hair over 470 unless you love it and you're willing to pay more than I believe this property's worth. And Andrew, don't even take my word for it. Let's sit down and look at these comps for 5-6 minutes, just so you can kind of buy into what I'm seeing here.
Right. I love that. Well, and what it sounds like to me, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong here, but we started out talking about, you know, how much money do you want to make next year, which perfectly, it's your ultimate goal, right? That's kind of the main goal people set in real estate, is how many homes am I going to sell to make X amount of money? But it seems like really what goal setting is about is kind of breaking it down into habits, right? Because whether you're talking about how many conversations do I need to have, how many appointments do I need to set, how, you know, working through that conversion funnel, it's less about, achieving that goal. And it's more about breaking it down into these daily habits. Yep. And those habits are what actually help you achieve that goal in the end. Is that, would you say that's fair to say?
Yeah, 100%. And we all want motivation, right? We want to get that feeling we get when we just left a Tony Robbins event. You want it to just live in your body, but it doesn't. And I don't care who you're talking about at the top of whatever profession they're in or industry they're in, they will tell you if you sit down with them, I'm not always motivated. I don't wake up every day and I'm not always pumped up. You might think I am, you might perceive I am, but that's a habit that I've gotten into, is not just acting like it, because that might be what my buyers and sellers and other agents need from me. And I need to produce, right? But I also, like, let me back this up too. If you have, like, we went back to that sheet that we made, right? I got the sheet sitting right here next to me, and I've got those filled out from that training that I did. Now on days when I'm not motivated, I'm not feeling that emotion, all I've got to do is look at this cork board right next to me and see, just like my top agent, Lizette, she knows, I don't know what her conversation number is, but let's say it's 10. She can say, well, I've only done 3 conversations. Man, today sucks. I don't want to call anybody. I don't want to make these calls. I don't want to follow up. Ugh, people, I want a margarita and I want a pool, right? All she's got to do is say, discipline. Discipline tells me all I got to do is make 7 more conversations and then I can park my butt out by that pool. And now in about an hour, she can sprint through those conversations and then she can go to her slushy machine and get that margarita going. And she doesn't have to feel bad about it because she did the thing she committed to doing. If that, like, that's all you've got to do. I think people sit there and waste so much time overthinking, like, if I do this and then I do this, dude, just get your conversations in, treat people really good, give them incredible service, and then go sit by the pool or whatever it is your equivalent of sitting by the pool is, right? But yes, to your point, you're not going to have motivation all the time. You've got to have discipline. You've got to build habits. And if I can make a recommendation, Atomic Habits, phenomenal book. Read it. It'll give you not just some habits that you can implement, but God, what was the word? I can't think of what they're called, but like little triggers that if you know how to do it, and I'll give you an example, right? If I want to do 100 pushups a day, I may or may not do 100 pushups. That might sound a little overwhelming to me. But if I sit at this desk all day and I create the trigger of I'm not allowed to stand up unless I do 10 pushups. Now, whenever I got to go get a bite to eat, I got to go to the bathroom, I got to whatever, I have to do 10 pushups. That's not really a big deal. That takes me about 10 seconds. It's easy. It's manageable. And now I've created that trigger, right? So just creating different triggers, and you'll get so much more out of that book. But really, it gives you a lot of those tools you need to get that discipline going.
Amazing. Amazing. So real quick, before we wrap up today, Joe, I just wanted to come back to this topic of motivation, right? Because, you know, the last couple of years have been, you know, a crazy unexpected market, and now things are shifting in the other direction. There's, you know, kind of looming economic uncertainty, maybe a looming recession, maybe a lot of things that are making everyone, especially people who are kind of sales focused, especially in real estate, kind of question, you know, maybe that some of their financial stability looking forward. What are you telling agents on your team, and how are you helping people stay motivated as we're kind of being faced with this uncertainty?
Yeah. Well, and is this right? Is this wrong? I'm being pretty blunt with them. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying, guys, right now,
it's what we need.
I think it was NAR who came out, whoever it was, and I'm making up these numbers, but they're accurate enough. There's like 1.4 million agents, and 800,000 of them, which is more than half, have never sold a house.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was talking to the local Keller team leader. He's a good friend of mine. And he said, you know, I was looking in broker, I forget what it's called, but it looks up all the stats for the agents. He said in the last 90 days, 100% of our sales were done by 32% of the agents. Yeah. Crazy. And it was only, again, I'm making this up, but I think it was like 11% of agents had two deals in the last 90 days. And so you're going to start to see the separation when it's super easy to get listings and get buyers and everybody's coming in 20 grand over. Like, I can't believe the agents who complained about that market saying it's so tough. Dude, if you think that's tough, you're about to feel the real tough, right? But for me, it makes me salivate, and it makes a lot of top agents salivate. Now, am I going to make as much? I don't know. I honestly don't care. To me, it's a game. It's a competition. So the tougher it gets for me, the more motivated I get, the more interesting and exciting it gets. If you are one of those agents who's focused on, am I going to make it? Am I going to have to go back and do this? Am I going to, and all these fearful thoughts, I can already tell you the answer is yes. You're almost assuredly going to have a tough time, and you're going to have to go find a job. But if you show up every morning and you're like, hey, listen, I am here to make money. I'm here to take care of my family. But man, I'm here to crush it for this buyer and get him the best damn house they're ever going to get. I'm here to make sure that this seller gets $12,000 more with me than they would have gotten with any other agent. And I'm going to find little ways to get better 1% every single day and implement on this stuff and execute and build better checklists, build better systems, use better systems, work with Red X to get more calls taken care of. Do I have a good CRM? I'm always going to focus on improving, and I'm going to crush it no matter what. If you've got that mindset, you're going to do well. In my opinion, if you have any other mindset, I think your odds of success are incredibly low over the next 12 to 24 months. Now, you can take that negatively, but I would challenge you that if you are, you're probably telling yourself silently where you sit on that spectrum. If you're hearing what I'm saying and it's firing you up and you're turning this off because you got to go hit the gym or hit your phone and make more calls or get your goals set up for next year, whatever, that's the reaction you're having, you're probably on the other side of the spectrum that's going to have an absolutely phenomenal 2023. And I'll finish with this one thing.
Okay.
If you go in to this market and your sales are coming down, because all sales have come down a little bit. In our market, it's about 16, 17% sales have dropped in the last 6 months, right? The number of sales per month. If you keep doing the same things you're doing and agents are slowly trickling out of the business, right? you're going to see that when the market turns, whether it's in 6 months or 6 years, you're going to come out with a greater percentage of the market share, and you're going to see one of the biggest booms in your career. I bet you I'm going to see about two or three more of those. I'm 40. I'll see two or three more of those in my real estate career. And right now, the effort that I put in over the next 1 to 2 years is what's going to create the next biggest boom, one of two or three in my life, that's going to have the biggest impact on my success in my career. So I'm all in, man. I hope it gets even worse. I think about that all the time. The worse it gets, the more valuable this guy right here is. So bring it on.
I love it. Bring it on. Well, Joe, you sure have fired me up. I can't speak for the audience, but thank you. That was, I think that was, you know, maybe the kick in the pants a lot of people needed, hopefully. And like you said, taking it positively. Don't take, it's going to be the reality of it's going to be tough and get discouraged.
Yeah.
Use that as a challenge. Challenge accepted. Get fired up and get at it. So,
absolutely,
I love it. I love absolutely. It. Well, Joe, that was amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. Before we wrap up here, any other closing thoughts? Anything else you want to leave with the audience?
Just really focus on that why, man. Everybody's going to have these tough days where you don't want to get out and do it, myself included. Even today, like, I'm fired up right now. I've had a great, productive day. I got a house under contract today, right?
Nice.
But there have been little two-minute stints in my day where I'm not feeling it 100%. You're either going to get in the mindset of how do I get as much as possible in real estate, maybe that's commissions, listing, whatever, by doing the least amount possible. Or you're going to get to the mindset of how do I do as much as possible for other people, regardless of what I get? Mm. And I'll tell you, every single time, that second mindset is going to pay off way more. People feel it. They love it. You're going to feel it. You're going to love it. You're going to attract other agents to you. You're going to attract other buyers, other sellers. And that mindset of just, it's not about me. It doesn't matter if I'm motivated. It doesn't matter if I'm disciplined. It doesn't matter what my habits are. Yeah, this is cool. I love these goals, but really, I'm here to destroy it. I'm here to compete. I'm here to crush it. And if you can get into that mindset of just delivering massive value, there's nothing that's going to stop you.
I love it. I love it. Well, Joe, thank you again. If anyone who's been watching or anyone listening wants to get a hold of you, or if they have any follow-up questions, where can they reach you, Joe?
Absolutely. So you can go find me on Facebook. I think my business page is The Joe Rosen Show. And if you go to Instagram, it's The Joe Rosen Show. And if you look up thejoerosenshow.com, you'll see my YouTube channel. And I'm pretty visible. If you have Canva and you want me to share with you all of the goal setting stuff that we created, it's November, guys. This is the perfect time to start setting up your 2023. Just shoot me your email on anything, on Facebook, Instagram, it doesn't matter. And say, hey, give me that Canva piece with your goal setting materials and we'll shoot it right over to you. Not a problem. And it's editable. So if you're a team leader, you can take all the Rosen Group stuff off and put all your stuff on. Take all the EXP off and put the Coldwell Banker on or whatever it is you got, right? But you can steal all our stuff, whatever you need.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Joe. To the audience, thanks so much for joining in today. Thank you for your warm comments. And we're getting a lot of thank yous for you there, Joe. Be sure to tune in every week. We have this podcast every Thursday at 1:30 Mountain Time. I believe that's 3:30 Eastern, if I'm correct about that.
Yes, sir.
We will see you, actually, next week is Thanksgiving. So we'll see you next Friday for a little special show and then the week after that. So thanks again, Joe. Always a pleasure. And we'll talk to everyone later.
Appreciate you, brother.
See you.